Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Squid Game costumes are the rage this Halloween season. It's perhaps a sign of the times that a fictional game show or winning a cash prize is a matter of life and death is so resonant. Well, back in 1858, another dystopian tale was all the rage. It was a spoof on opera, and maybe on the French government, called Orpheus in the Underworld. And strangely enough for a piece about hell, this was its biggest hit too. Yep, that's the can-can. And just in time for Halloween, we have our music opinionator, Fran Hoffner, joining us to unpack Orpheus in the Underworld. Hi, Fran.
Hi there.
Okay, a lot to talk about. Tell us first about the composer here, Jacques Offenbach.
Yeah, Jacques Offenbach is a French composer, and he's mostly famous for his operettas. He's kind of the father of operettas, or these light comic operas. So in the 19th century, we get some really, you know, heavy, emotionally wrought operas, and then you have a lot of these really playful farces and satires, and he's really the king of those.
Yeah, and I gather he was a bit of a rebel, bit of a prankster, yeah?
Yeah, definitely wanted to push buttons, both of his musicians and I think of his audiences.
Okay, so let's listen to a little bit more. There's a lovely little cello tune here, and it turns out Offenbach was a cellist. Okay, Fran, so why did Offenbach write a spoof about the underworld?
I think Greek mythology was pretty trendy. Audiences having familiarity with Greek mythology made them feel worldly and intellectual, which is maybe the same now, too. But I think to take elevated material like that and make it funny was quite revolutionary for its time.
Now, critics at the time called this production, I guess, profane and irreverent, I gather?
They never get it, you know, when something first comes out. It always takes a little bit of time. But I can see how, you know, poking fun at those in power or the gods would feel, I don't know, a little controversial.
Now, speaking of the gods, in classical mythology, Orpheus is the son of Apollo, and he descends to hell to try to rescue his wife. But in this opera, Orpheus is this rustic violin teacher who has to kind of be talked into it.
Yeah, in the Offenbach version, Orpheus and Eurydice have their own separate lives going on, and Orpheus gets a little bit strong-armed into this rescue mission. I think other interpretations of this myth see it as really tragic, and this is, like, you know, a begrudging obligation for these two characters in Offenbach's version.
Now, Orpheus gets some memorable music after, I guess, what you might call some musical throat clearing. No, it sounds a lot of fun. And then the Orpheus violin theme leads into this big waltz.
Thank you.
And in this spoof, the Gods of Olympus, they don't come off looking so great, do they?
No, they're pretty farcical and they're petty. Although I'd argue that the Gods of Olympus are always pretty petty, but I think some of this was supposed to mirror French politics at the time as well.
Oh, so this is commentary on the Emperor Napoleon III, I guess, at the time?
Yeah, I think this is maybe the best way to say something political is to, spin off a whole opera about it.
Yeah. A little bit indirect. Why do you think this has kind of clicked with so many people ever since? I mean, we're going back to 1858 here.
I think it's dual-fold. I think the satire really resonates with maybe what we think of as the middle class of that time. So an educated class who would have familiarity with this myth, but is also aware enough of politics to know what it's making fun of in their society. And I also think the music is just great. It's really playful and exciting and entertaining. And even if it maybe doesn't sound funny to a 21st century audience, you can at least listen and hear how fun it is.
Now, you keep using the word fun. Is there anything scary about this underworld in this version?
Maybe not exactly scary, though. I feel like I know people who would be so happy to never hear the can-can ever again. So maybe just the tedium of that piece.
Well, in that case, let's hear it again. And why the can-can in the underworld? What's the point here?
It's frantic and crazy, and I think, has a little bit of, a burlesque theme to it. I'm sure it's representative of, the sinful party class of the time.
Yeah. And why do you think this particular music has become one of the world's most famous tunes?
It's a good question. Maybe because of its hellish repetition. It's a real earworm. It gets stuck in your head. I don't know if something that's the most famous is always, the most beloved, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I understand. Now, Offenbach and his can-can inspired many other composers. Let's take a listen to the French composer Camille Saint-Saëns' Carnival of the Animal, the Tortoise segment. All right, fam, what do you make of that version?
I think this is such a funny piece of musical commentary from Saint-Saëns. Like, the Carnival of Animals is an amazing suite of music. I think you hear a lot of the segments of that in popular culture today. The aquarium bit is really probably very famous and known to listeners. But this one, I think, is much less played because it's basically an inside joke. But I love this interpretation of it.
Now, Orpheus in the Underworld was such a hit that the Emperor Napoleon III himself saw it as a command performance. I'm curious, what do you make of that?
I think the appeal of Greek mythology is just enduring. And I think even if this was meant to be a satire of the regime at the time, you kind of can't resist the storytelling in Greek mythology and the archetypes and the allegory. You see impressions of Orpheus in the Underworld in pop culture all over the place today. Portrait of a Lady on Fire, the movie that came out a couple years ago, has that as a running theme throughout. You've got like Hades, the video game. Like, you keep seeing this myth crop up again and again. So I think there's just an enduring appeal to these stories.
All right, that is Fran Hoffner, our music opinionator at Here and Now. Fran, so great to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much.